soon as somebody qualified, anybody qualified to take my place, I will sit in the back from then on, gladly. But,
okay, I guess it's me. I'm Bob Rose. I do live in North County. I'm a member of the North County Water Resources Forum. I was appointed to that by Harry. He's supposed to be representing the hobby farmers or rural residential kind of people out there. I'm also just one planning commissioner.
Tom Mora, Resource Conservation District, and I'm a farmer in the Shannon District where you intend to put water. I don't want to know what that.
Me.
Susan Martin, Castleville.
I'm Eric Greening, and I'm both on the RAC Water Resources Advisory Committee and the North County Water Resources Forum as an environmental member.
My name is Thomas Green. I work for the County San Luis Obispo under Water Resources.
I'm Courtney Howard, County Public Works Water Resources.
Brad Hagan, City Pastor of Water Resources Manager.
Paul Sorensen, Food Truck.
And Clifford out there, over there, oh god.
Clifford Smith, I'm a supervisor aerial that's legislative assistant.
Thank you all for coming. This will be actually about the third collection of questions and concerns that we've come up with, one in Shannon, two in San Luis Obispo, from people who were part of the RAC and sent questions in either by email or in a small meeting. Today we'll sort of add some more that come from you as you think of them, and then we will conflate these into one document with sort of categories, so legal questions, planning questions, et cetera, engineering questions, and we'll circulate them widely. So if you make sure that you have, if you have email, you can be sure to put that on the sign-in sheet. It would be very helpful to help circulate this. The purpose and goals of the subcommittee, do you want to speak to that? Do you want me to, Courtney?
Have we jumped over chairperson?
Oh, no, excuse me. We had had an offer at long last. Brad has said that he would be willing to chair this group. And you want to tell people a little bit more about yourself?
I've been working for the City of Paso for about 16 months or so. Came to Paso after about 17 years with the Regional Water Quality Control Board. I've been in this area, came up to San Luis Obispo County in 77 to go to Cal Poly, and managed to stick around. And currently in my current position with the City of Paso, the Water Resources Manager, kind of Utilities Manager position, responsible for water, wastewater, and the solid waste landfill operations, as well as planning side of things. Represent the city on the Nacimiento water project. Represent the City of Paso at RAC meetings. Basically anything to do with water or wastewater.
Is it appropriate to have a formal motion or, I don't know, what's a quorum of our subcommittee?
We can have an outbreak of formality, but it won't last. But why don't you take a shot at it?
Okay, well, I will move that we nominate Brad Hageman as chair of the Groundwater Banking Subcommittee of the Water Resources Advisory Committee.
I'll second.
Any further discussion?
I think it's a great idea. I mean, I know Mike Wynn for years, and he's a fine fellow, but there's always that North County, South County, one of those guys trying to tell us, and if we got somebody from North County involved in this, it really makes sense.
It makes a lot of sense to me, and I appreciate, I've called some of you and said, I don't understand the politics up there, what's going on, and they tried to explain. It's nothing like living in a place to know.
We don't either.
And it's just the politics.
We know we live down there where everybody's suing everybody, and we don't want that.
And you certainly wouldn't want litigation to break out in North County.
No.
Okay.
Mike, I think we all agree we're in the same together.
Yeah.
You know, water's water, the county is intact. And I know the folks at the Pomona Trip, the building permits, actually, you know, inflation increases, whatever, and everybody else is in the tank. So I think we really need, for us, you know, I'm seven generations here. We know where dry years are. My family built their first house College, or the Cuesta College in 1850, and were given all that land. But, you know, because of dry years, that stuff is passed around. So we can have some real value.
Yeah.
Should we get our action together? After living in the San Joaquin Valley and dealing with that for 22 years, of Brian Kern, Delta Mendel, and the State Water Project, you know, we're still in the caveman. We got to get our action.
Well, I, unless there's anybody to contrary, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you. Try to assemble not the answers or the analysis, but simply the concerns and questions of the people of North County about potential water banking or other use of the 17,000 acre feet of state water allocation that that Columbia Pass is not being used. It's not guaranteed to go to Shandon. It's not guaranteed to go anywhere. It may simply stay where it is, and all of the ideas we have may prove to be unfeasible. But at least we need to raise the questions and say, are we doing the best thing that we know with this water?
When we talked on the phone, you said your district's manager came from a small utility in the valley that they did go out and water banking?
Actually, that's a member of the Nacoma Community Services District. He's one of our directors now, who's retired in Nacoma. But he was the founding general manager, and was the general manager for 30 years at Arvin Edison Water Banking, which is the largest program like that west of Mississippi. And he has led tours over there, and he'd gladly do it again if we want to put some transportation together at a date that works for him.
Could you possibly describe what goes on there?
Well, it. What's there is really a wonderful thing. They basically have all this water that's coming out of the mountains, and it's headed to Los Angeles, but Los Angeles doesn't need it when they got it, and then when they don't have it, they need it. So they found a geological area there on Arvin that has this huge subterranean bowl, and they can put it in settling ponds, and it just goes right on down and stays put. And when they're ready to pump it out, the total loss is 1%. It's amazing. And they send that on into Los Angeles at the rate they need it, and they pay them off with water. And then they take that water and try and sell it for very simple. I grossly oversimplified, but that's an overview. I do not know that we have that same kind of geology here. I don't know that we can put the water in the ground and never find it again. And one of the feasibility questions that will have to be asked, and it will be your department really that ends up doing the work, is what is the geology here, and how much the water will stay put, how long, and would it bathe, and to do it that way.
Yeah, you can kind of see from the handouts from the pinwheel one, where we have the state water allocation, you know, what are we going to do with it? And there's several options. In fact, in November 2002, we looked at it from a financial standpoint, looked at all those different options, and did a ranking.
Before we go too far with that, could I ask one question about Arvin Edison?
Yes.
Because it kind of goes to a question that came up at the treatment plant. Do you know the acre footage that they are generally storing, and do you know the geographical extent of the area where the banking takes place?
I can get that information for you.
That would be helpful, I think.
Or
just get an idea of what kind of land area we're talking about.
That's Clifford Trotter is the man's name. He would come up here and give you a presentation. He'd love to do it. He's sent to Washington and other places to testify before very grand organizations, but he could go anywhere that people were curious. I can't tell you this, but some of the intake pipes I've seen are large enough you can drive a two-door car inside of them for miles. They're huge.
How much water Mike is storing is a large amount. How many How many thousand acre feet are they storing over there in the county?
I honestly, I don't have, you know,
I search up
there. But they have whole parks of sediment ponds, and they just, the water goes in at, it's like 5 feet in diameter, just pour them into these things, and as soon as one's full, they start the next one and the next one, and the water just starts going down. It's amazing, absolutely amazing what they achieve. But to me, the most amazing achievement is they pull it back out and they lose 1%. I mean, that's what sells it for me.
The other point, I think, just for kind of reference, is how we even have the opportunity, really, to do some study, because of the IWRM funding and the fact that the county, the flood control district, put this in a line item there.
Yeah.
And so what we're really trying to do is how to best describe or scope out what we'd like to see done with what we have up to.
About 16,000.
But money-wise?
Oh, money-wise, about 250,000 for this study.
For this study?
Yeah.
The current contracts that are being signed with State Water, they're paying close to $3,000 an acre foot. No, $3,000.
For permanent sale.
For permanent sale.
Okay.
And when we give it to the turnback pool, we get $12.50. So the gap between what its market value is and what we're getting for it is so huge that it cries out for something more creative than what we're doing.
$12?
$12
we can't even pump agriculture water to a water truck for $12. That's one.
Well, now mind you, once you built the pipes, you wouldn't sell it for $12.
No, either. No, but if you can get it for $12, you can pump it.
Anyway,
pardon me, I'm sorry I interrupted your flow there. Obviously, we needed to have this discussion that you were talking about the options.
Yeah, I was just saying, kind of trying to show that there were different options that can be potentially assessed for that, utilizing that excess allocation. And one of them, trying to, just the value of the water, looking for a way that we can utilize that water locally, we thought was in our best interest. And so that's why we, asked for that grant money. Look at the feasibility of banking it locally in the county. But of course, other options are banking outside the county or leasing it potentially to another entity outside the county as well. But that's what we requested, and hopefully, we'll get some questions answered through that study and we'll look through it in more detail later. But that's just kind of what that happened about. And so in respect to your overall goals and objectives for this group, our commitment through that grant program is to, get community input, and we specifically named a subcommittee of the RAC to meet with them at least quarterly. So mm-hmm. I'd like to be on your, if you're going to meet once a month, I'd like to be on your agenda, at least quarterly, to give an update on the progress of this particular study. I didn't know if you wanted to, that was kind of the next thing, is talking about a regular meeting date. I got a complaint, I guess, that we're having this meeting on the same day as the Shannon Blanger meeting. And they expressed concern about trying to make it to both meetings. So I would vote for a move of the regular meeting day, at least for the quarterly update that they do, because I have a really long list of people I want to contact, let them know we're going to meet about it. North County Water Forum, Shannon Ledger Committee, and RAC members, and State Water Subcontractors.
Now, we used to meet on the first Thursday, we being the North County Water Resources
Forum.
Yeah. So I didn't understand why we couldn't do that.
Yeah, we could do it at the same time.
One of the suggestions was made, because Ken Weathers, as you know, is out of town right now, should get back today or tomorrow, he said. He chairs that forum, and the question I had was, what if these were conflated into one
group?
And it'd be far more efficient, and I wouldn't care. I mean, I don't care who chairs
it. Kind of program.
You could co-chair it. You could do whatever you want to do with it. But
we're kind of programmed up here for Thursday because it follows your RAC meeting. That's why Ken was just set up for that many years ago. And lately, he hasn't had enough material for meetings.
Right.
this is apropos for this, and I'm sure that you know about this, and we're willing up here to all do some.
This would be every first Thursday at 5 o'clock, and we're usually out by 6:30 because there's a...
You should have a CSD meeting in here.
This says that 6:30 you shut your mouth.
He shuts, which is a great meeting. He runs a good meeting, and I think that, you know, we could do it that way. And it really helps behind your meeting, because then we know it's going on.
So July 6th and August 3rd and September, whatever.
Well, it wouldn't always come after our meeting, though. For example, this month.
One time in seven, it wouldn't.
Yeah.
You know, you would have met last Thursday, the first Thursday.
And so I think that, you know, with a forum, we kind of meets when there's material.
Right.
And so and we may, if things get rolling, I don't know if we need to meet monthly necessarily.
No, it depends on the study of what they want to do, what court meets. If she talks to Taylor and say, hey, we got a concern here, or we don't have a concern, that's who she needs to communicate with. Let's keep it at that time. I mean, that's why we put it on Thursday.
One other consideration.
They're
if they have questions or want to send somebody here or whatever, they can,
Their
public
Mr.
aware.
Mr. Brandon Tushman comes in and does this meeting.
But they meet the first Wednesday.
Right, so they usually meet the day before, except 1 month in seven, it would be 6 days after, but that's no biggie. One other consideration is there may be a month when we want to invite someone from the CWA office. I suspect some of our questions will be collected for them. And so are they?
Bill Brennan from the Central Squad. He's invited every time I send out an email. I've got pretty much a huge email. I've got the subcontractors for State Water or local subcontractors. We've got Bill Brennan, got North County Water Forum, got subcommittee for the RAC, so they all get emailed.
Right.
And I don't know if you want to pull them in for your overall meeting, but for the quarterly update, but I really want to have them.
Oh, definitely. And I'm thinking when we categorize questions, one way of categorizing is questions for whom. In other words, who would be the best position to answer? And when we get a good collection of questions for CCWA, then certainly we should have Bill Brennan here to work on them.
Is the North County Water Forum here?
Yep, right here, yeah.
I would not have been able to, unless I found somebody, I wouldn't have been able to do it, because I teach it probably Tuesdays and Thursdays, so now that you've got a local chair, that's not...
Well, are you still interested? I know you're with a CSD that is also dealing with the State Water Project, and your experiences can be informative.
I can keep, you just keep me on the mailing list for agendas and minutes, and I'm good.
I think the information you got from Marvin is what Brad needs to outline his A&C between him and Courtney and come in with a good presentation, because this room will be packed when we do this.
And then I have a collection of all the questions Courtney's plus the ones that are reflected in San Luis, and you give me a list of the ones that come tonight, and you put them all together, I'll send them to you, and then you can distribute.
I'm hoping to do a website too, where the groundwater banking have updates and have. I've been recording them too, so if people can't attend, they can listen to it if they choose. I'm curious if anyone actually listens to it. Hopefully, I'll get that set up within the next.
Mike, are we in danger of losing that 17,000 acre feet if we don't do something with it? Will the state reabsorb that into the system and distribute it somewhere else?
Nobody can say precisely yes or no, but we have asked various people for legal. Not official opinions, but just give us your best guess. And their best guess is that the basic state water law says that the use of water must be reasonable and beneficial. And if we have not developed a reasonable and beneficial use by 2032 or thereabouts when the contract's expiring, we won't get it back.
What is the date again?
Well, I thought it was 2032, and Paolo said it's 2035, but it's coming up. I won't be there for it. I'll put it that way.
2025 was the number.
I thought it was sooner. I thought it was 2025.
which is just
no, I'm sure it's in the 30s.
The other thing is that
the only reason I know that is because we signed an MOU from the home with the city of Santa Maria, and 2032 is when that price expires, and we'll need to renegotiate along with everybody else for the next 30 years.
Well, that's a big concern for the citizens up here. Are we going to lose our when are we going to do something with why haven't the county come in with some kind of fund?
Well, one reason is that the county does not have any representation on the Central Coast Water Authority Board. It's a joint powers authority of Santa Barbara County purveyors, and they vote on a percentage basis of per acre foot. So the delegate from Santa Maria has 43% of the vote. The delegate from Guadalupe has 1.15% of the vote. I remember raising the question of us being represented proportionally to our allocation at the time the original contracts were signed in the 90s. And we were, the board was kind of scared away from that by being told, well, do you want to be liable like we are, or do you just want to get our service and pay the rate? And they kind of said, we'll get your service and pay the rate at that point. But I know Pablo sometimes attends their meetings kind of quietly and sits in the back, but we have no formal policy-making representation from this county on their board. So essentially, decisions are made in two places, Buellton and Sacramento, and our purveyors pay. And that's essentially the relationship we've had until now. So dealing with policy questions just hasn't, you know, it's been on a very, very, very back burner because there's no decision-making apparatus to move it to a front burner.
But there is a second reason why the county hasn't really sort of forged ahead, I think. And you guys know better than I do, really. When this whole pipeline was put through, there were really sort of three different camps in North County. Some said...
In the countywide.
And countywide, but it was more focused here than it was in Napomo, I guarantee you.
Well, Napomo had a vote to turn it down. It was only a few people. I was serving on the RAC at that time, and you're absolutely right. There were three camps of about equal size, and so instead of submitting a recommendation to the Board of Supervisors, we submitted three minority reports because we couldn't get a majority for anything. There was a group that wanted to take the full 25,000 acre feet size the pipeline for it, even though we only had subscriptions for about 4,800 at the time. There was a group that wanted us to take only the 4,800, and there was a group that didn't want to touch the project with a 10-foot pole.
So when you give that kind of a third to county, I mean, I don't know if there's a direct way forward.
And back then, like, today the demographics of the North County, as he can attest to, have changed dramatically. The voter base are people from Southern California and the Bay Area who expect water.
Napomo has 22,000 people in it right now, and half of them have been there less than 8 years.
See? This is what I'm saying. The whole thing's changed. So it's great that we're on top of this thing right now.
Well, our job really isn't to come up with a plan and give it to the supervisors. Our problem is to come up with all the different options that we can think of and the concerns we can raise. And then staff are really going to have to look at how much money and how many people and all that kind of stuff, how much can they evaluate.
Well, that's a question I have, Mike, and that is this project is a county public works project. And so this subcommittee, what really is the, I understand that in your grant you said that you would report to this subcommittee on a quarterly basis, but other than being a forum for dispersing information, what role does this subcommittee have, and what responsibility and authority does this subcommittee have?
You very elegantly avoided the term rubber stamp, Paul. I appreciate that.
Well, no,
there's a sense in which there's a statutory obligation to identify a group of people that are going to listen to you and give you feedback. And they're reading that obligation with us. But one of the reasons why I think contemplating this with the North County Water Fund is that you're going to get a broader base, you're going to get a more representational feel, and I think you're going to get a better product back to Public Works. But we won't make this project happen unless, in their assessment, they come up with something that actually pencils out. You know, it's going to cost $2 million for. It'll cost about $2 million for a running mile pipeline, and
being a farmer, Mike, we're not going to stop these vineyards. We've got 160 wineries from Templeton to Paso Robles. 160. I grew up here. We have four.
Of course, it was never intended to serve agriculture.
No, purposes. But if your group could tell you what's happening to the Paso Robles groundwater basin, the race is on. So if we are going to maintain the population, not expand, but maintain the metropolitan populations of our three communities, the five now including Shannon, we need additional water, as well as Southco. That's why the county has to look at it as a whole.
But in answer to Paul's question, you know, I mean, you're right, it is Public Works' project, but if we sent their model on the wrong track, we all have the ability to talk to the politicians. The politicians, in fact, talk to them and say, hey, we need to accept this over. But if we have this open forum, this communications, we're not confident they're not going to go there. Because they're going to see what we need, and they're going to understand what they are discovering.
Well, I think a forum like this is a tremendous resource just for that purpose, and that is to be a forum. The North County Water Resources Forum had tremendous value in the accomplishment of Paso Robles groundwater, right? The basin study. Even though, you know, the basin study was a public works project, solely a public works project, but the forum.
And it was done by guys like you out in the field and burrowing away in the office, but.
But the forum had a tremendous value in just being a place to discuss it. And that was just really my question. Is that essentially the role of this subcommittee, or is there more to it? And
I think it's a fairly limited role. I don't think we're trying to sort of get too expansive. We have an asset that's worth about $3 million a year. And it's sitting out there, and if we don't use it, we'll lose it. That's the bottom line. And so our question is, how do we take advantage of this asset? Because we know that at some future date, it could be 10 years, it could be 50 years, but at some future date, we're going to need that water desperately.
Yeah. Right, Mike, all we have to do is look at the Mass Meadow Dam and see where the water goes. So I opened up for you when that dam was built and what happened before the supervisors.
Me too.
Somebody had to be doing some.
Yeah. I'm only third generation, I can't compete with you.
It's all my water in our county, and the farmers in the Salinas Valley get it.
Yeah.
Except for the bottom pipe that comes out with a 16,000 acre feet or something, we're going to be appeased with, right? 188,000 acre feet of water, and it goes somewhere else.
Yeah, I mean, that wasn't the only short-sighted water decision we made in this county. But that aside, I think my boss was the one who really put the pressure on to, let's get something going, let's take a look at this. And this forum will do this, I think, is predicated on the North County Forum. Mm-hmm. Same thing, same idea, place to use as a sounding board to get feedback, to make sure that we're talking to a wide variety in the county. Mm-hmm.
I agree with that, and I apologize if I have another fit.
Next time I'll be quiet, then you
won't. No. The one thing that would destroy any credibility is if one particular viewpoint dominated this and sort of somehow took it over and monopolized it. That would be a disaster. So.
Well, we have agriculture, urban, rural, residential, environmental, and technical. Are there other, we may at some point need legal, but probably just to tell us what is and isn't possible from that standpoint.
Wineries are obviously a big player. that would be distinguished from conventional agriculture in some ways. Agritourism is a huge field.
See, this is what we're saying. You know, you say it's not going to be used for agriculture, but look at these wineries, look at this storage field in Northern Indiana. All uses, you know, city water, local district water and all that, and you combine it, pretty soon you start figuring it out. That's,
yeah.
You know, we've got to somehow become accountable for this.
Well, our general plan now basically says groundwater is reserved for agriculture, certainly the groundwater that underlies our agricultural land, and urban uses should look for other sources, surface water. That's more or less the policy we have. Now, you're describing a sort of reality that water is fluid, and obviously when water is in deficit in some place or in surplus in some place, it economic or physical operations will tend to move it to where it's needed, regardless of the category of use. But the basis for planning has always been that agriculture should use the groundwater and not become dependent on other sources, but that conversely, other competing interests should not be going after agriculture's groundwater.
And that's where the problem comes from. I think we have to keep in mind, Mike, that we're a growth area, and we're going to continue to need water, and we need to be looking at that. And that's what you're doing. This is what is very important.
Why don't we have Courtney get her presentation? Because I know you've got a PowerPoint presentation.
Yeah, maybe I'll just kind of run through it kind of casually so you can generate discussion.
I'll douse the light and hope so.
Yeah, actually, we put some
copies of the tenant sheet here.
Oh, great, thanks.
Is this where we're going to take our retreat?
Well, next time we can plan ahead and use that.
I
called
her and I said,
oh,
what do you have there?
It's
last week.
I'm
like, okay.
Well, they're set up to just drop a CD
into
for a DVD thing.
Into a computer?
Yeah, and then project it on
that feature.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
well.
Alright, so we have some grant money. We want to look at feasibility of banking water in the local region that has to look around the basin. I'm just going to go over the purpose of the study and the scope, potential results from it, and then I'm going to go into some groundbreaking methods and some examples of other programs. I don't know if I have the technical details that everyone has, but maybe it'll help a little bit. So we have this excess state water allocation. We're only using 40-30. Trying to find a beneficial use for when the contracts expire, so we won't have to worry about them taking it away from us. We've got capacity in the pipeline for the full allocation up to the Colonial Pass water treatment plant. And I think contractually we have the ability to use this, so that would be something we need to work out if it got to that point.
In relation to the first bullet, while it says we're using 4830, that was kind of the original subscription level. My understanding is we don't have 20,000 available now because there have been some that have subscribed for reliability reserves and things like that.
Right, so if you just subtract that, you think we have 20,000 excess allocation, but in fact, the subcontractors have an additional acre foot that they have an allocation for to cover them in drought years. So that way they can get 100% delivery in a less than 100% delivery year from state water. The average for a state water project is about 75% delivery.
This was the first year since 1967 when the canal was built, and the farmers on the west side of the San Joaquin got their 100%.
Yeah.
The name was Harris Farms, Harris Feedlot. Right on down the line of Marina Mesa for J.G. Boswell. This is the first time in all those years, 47 years, they got this year's money.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yep, we're at 100%, so we're being proactive here. But, so, you know, there's a lot of different options for utilizing that excess in time, as we talked about earlier. I brought in a copy. I just smell the copy, so if you want to look at it later, it's a more of a financial analysis of the different options for utilizing the excess state water allocation. And you know, those were some of the options they looked at. Of course, permanent sale was the most financial benefit, probably the 3,000 that we were talking about. Of course, we want to look at, you know, our current policy with the through the board of supervisors to utilize that allocation locally. So according to current policy, that's not, you know, the best option, but it is there, you know, as an option. Groundwater banking in county, outside the county, leasing outside the county, and all of these different bubbles have a, you know, a certain level of work effort associated with it. Some are more technically intense than others. More others might be more just looking at the legality of it. So in keeping with our current policies, you know, looking at trying to find a way to utilize that excess allocation locally, just because it's so valuable a resource, we apply to the state for some grant funding to look at it. So we're lucky to get some funding to look at it. So we're trying to see, is there a way we can utilize that excess allocation through an in-county groundwater banking? And of course, it needs to be a win-win for everybody involved and who might participate and who might benefit from it. Some of these questions we're hoping to answer through this feasibility study. So the details of the grant agreement itself, of course, there's the stipulations we agree to. there's certain phases that we're going to go through. Work efforts, I guess you could say, is looking at the actual amount of water available for banking, just kind of doing that water supply analysis, looking at delivery and the different subcontractors and how much they use. And then doing the technical study of the site itself, of the groundwater basin, and looking at the different methods for banking, which I'll get into later, and a better, you know, feasibility of actually doing that in our basin. And then, of course, all the input, these meetings, hopefully the website will get up and running, comment forms, having formal reviews of any reports that we have. You know, we have to give quarterly progress reports to the state, as well as some specific, more detailed reports through our work efforts. And then, hopefully, well, in the end, we'll have a good report that has all the results and conclusions and any next steps that might be applicable to take. And then, throughout this whole process, I'm going to get a community input. Sure, we cover all the bases as best we can. So, three kind of steps to groundwater banking studies is gathering data and maybe doing a hydrological study, we'll definitely need more of those, and we kind of have that in the past with groundwater basin study and model. So, then the next step is kind of meat and potatoes of what the next step is for us is looking at the methods of groundwater banking and using that study and model as a tool to look at the different options and see what might work and what layout might work and where in the basin. And then applying some institutional, legal, and financial analysis to each of those methods and options to see which one is the most feasible, if at all, any of them. So it's just kind of a flow chart of the steps. You have the quantity, the siting study, and feasibility. You know, look at the model and applying your pass-fail criteria. Is it physically possible? Is it financially viable? What are the impacts? And then the outcomes, maybe it's feasible, and we'll have some next steps to take. Maybe it won't be feasible, and maybe there's some input that will come out of the study that will say, you know, when would it be feasible? What needs to change for it to be feasible? So, if it's not found feasible, at least we thoroughly assessed it as an option for utilizing it in county and through a groundwater banking program. We can move on to some of those other bubbles in that pinwheel. If it's found feasible, then we'll have pretty good water supply improvement project. We'll put that water to use, and we'll probably have a regional cooperation coming out of it. So I know that looks, the state looks very rural on regional cooperation kind of projects in terms of their integrated regional water management ideas and grant programs. Okay, I was just going to go over some of the methods to bank groundwater. One method is what they call in-loop recharge, where you bring in a surface water or another sort of supply, and you provide it to some user in lieu of them pumping the groundwater that they normally pump. So then that amount of groundwater that's not used is available and is in the bank for the people who brought in the surface water supply. So that's one concept that might work. The other method is direct recharge. Letting the water, physically storing the water or letting it percolate into the groundwater through ponds or a canal system or directly injecting it into the basin. And each of these methods have, you know, their pluses and minuses. In the recharge, you know, you find a willing partner for that to be implemented. For direct recharge, the percolating ponds, obviously you need a lot of land there. And injecting, you have a lot of water quality issues, and it's pretty energy intensive as far as directly injecting those. So those are some of the options that we'll be looking at in the study. So I kind of just simplified looking at the pluses and minuses, looking at the different methods in terms of ability to increase reliability and any benefits that might come out of it for overlying users. Typically there's a loss associated with the groundwater banking program. Mike mentioned a 1% loss, but sometimes in the contract that's pre-established, that 10%, you'll only be able to take out 90% of what you put in. So that's kind of might be a benefit for the overall users, that water will be left in the basin. And then also another potential benefit is, if the groundwater level is raised, you'll have a reduced pumping depth. So those are some of the benefits to weigh with respect to the the negatives, the infrastructure and costs associated with each option, and the potential harm to overlaying users, making sure that know, people aren't negatively impacted by the project. And now I just wanted to go over some examples of how they address those negative impacts in contracts or in banking programs. So this is an example from the Semi-Tropic Bank and Kern Water Bank programs. They established a monitoring committee to determine what the non-project condition would have been. So before the groundwater banking project, what would the water have done over time? And then they overlaid that with the banking project, the banking program, what it looks like with the banking program. So kind of with the project is this blue. So this would be this is the level here, elevation of groundwater and over time. So with the program, you see the blue here, there's some benefits here as far as the groundwater level, depth to the groundwater level. You can kind of see a general trend downward over time. The only thing not on here is like a line for overdraft. So you know, it's hard to say like what condition this basin is in, but you can see they have some periods here where with the banking program there is a negative impact on what would have been. So they've established in their contracts that, for like this example, if they have a subsequent years of 15-foot drop, then they have to curtail their pumping. So 45 acre feet overall, or feet overall, sorry, level drop over 3 years, then they have to curtail their pumping, the bankers do, to mitigate that negative effect on the basin.
So you're saying once it drops below 15 feet?
For over a period of 3 years each. Year 15 foot drop. If it does that, then
it's
that
actually 45 foot drop.
Right.
Well.
Mm-hmm.
Then the banking pumps are shut off.
Right.
And they don't extract anymore for the lanes in the similar truck.
I'm not sure when the recovery point is when they can restart the pumps, but how they address that in that example.
Now they don't actually put water in the ground at semi truck. It's strictly in the
Another example is based on modeling. I guess the Arvin Metropolitan Water District does this one, where over time, if they've established an amount that not to exceed over a period of time, based on the model they developed. And where I got this from was a presentation on groundwater banking from the lawyer's perspective. So, and I brought it kind of as a show and tell over there. Found a copy, but feel free to peruse it for his section. I thought he had some good examples in there from that perspective. Hopefully, I represented them all right. So, anyway, the next steps for the earworm, the grant funded study, is to develop a scope of work and request for proposals to do that technical feasibility study. So, that would probably be my next presentation. The next meeting would be to have you look at this scope of work and request for a proposal draft and get your input to make sure I'm covering all the things we want answered through this study. And then we'll just continue at least quarterly. I'll bring up updates depending on how fast I can work. and then just gather any questions. And I have on the website under Integrated Regional Water Management, I have a place where you can submit a public comment. So there's a form there if you want something pop into your head, log on and send it to me. And another thing about the agreement is that we have to do is by January 2008.
Now, would you have a scope of work for us to look at without strain on July 6th? In other words, is that a meeting date you would be ready for if we assumed we were hitting every Thursday?
I'm really going to try, because I need to keep it moving forward.
Uh-huh.
So, but as far as how soon I can distribute it prior to the meeting, that's questionable.
Well, the other thing I'm wondering, I know we have a certain rhythm, but that is the week of the 4th of July, and it may not be a good week to get attendance. And so, if you think you'd be close, I don't know the availability of the room, whether we want to bump a week that particular month, or let it go till the next month, depending on what would work for you.
Most of us don't travel anywhere for the 4th.
I hear that week after the 4th.
Okay.
So you're okay, but
we would not have gotten much of a look at it before we assemble, in other words.
Yeah, it depends on how quick the ending fits together. And with no RAC meeting in July.
Has that been decided?
No, what did they decide?
They decided, they didn't even talk about it. They, no one spoke up, so no meeting in July or August.
Okay.
That means I can take a little longer on this and work on this instead, but, I'm definitely doing my best because I have to keep on track of the schedule and everything.
Yeah,
and it's
fairly aggressive.
Yeah.
So essentially you would be presenting it to us rather than taking questions after we've reviewed it then, if we meet on the 6th.
Yeah, if I don't get it to you ahead of time quickly enough. I feel like I can because we have this scope of work already, you know, that was already submitted with the application for the grant money, and I just need to start with that and expand it, you know, using the questions that we've gathered and maybe other examples from other projects and other requests or proposals. So it's just, and then the process right now is getting all the information I can to make it a little easier.
Mm-hmm.
Having some examples is a lot easier to capture everything. Okay. Something in a nutshell.
How big a scope do you see this next level of work? I mean, is it just like a technical and siting type study, or do you foresee an engineering component and a legal component?
The way I pictured it was that, you know, we've got the model and a groundwater hydrologist with expertise about it, but then also I was picturing bringing in maybe an engineer that has experience in groundwater-based programs to help talk about, like, look at the feasibility with respect to the way our basin operates.
And Kurt, do you ever even think the county might, I mean, look at this as well as a grant, but I would think we would want to hire an engineering firm to actually, I'm not positive on the site for banning, but we want to look at those sites, hire an engineering firm like we did on another county's basin study, and get going on it, because those take a long time, and the accuracy of this thing will dictate how far you're going to reach your goals.
Yeah.
And that's why, you know, to me, affected by this, I would want the best data I have, and I don't know if we're going to do this, but to hire an engineering firm. The legality thing, I think you have to be proactive in this. I've been, you know, to a lot of court hearings and through water battles for 27 years, but I think we need data that's reliable for people to buy into this.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you. That's come up. Like, I know people have mentioned, like, previous studies and how poorly they predicted how they correspond with current studies. And so that kind of puts some doubt into the reliability of studies in general. That was one comment that I got back from the Shannon Electric meeting last month. So, somehow incorporating some some level of comfort, I guess, with the ability of it to predict, or does that seem like something that would be beneficial to have incorporated into the study?
Yeah, Frank, I got mentioned a couple times, we've got dump water down Shannon Creek or Shalana Creek. The first place you're going to dump it on is one of the biggest corporations in the world, that's the Hearst Corporation. What are the ramifications of the river going there? Or is it going to stop when it gets to the tributaries or the Stray River and Shannon there on the RCO ranch? We've got miles there. And what happens to that water, where it eventually ends up, is, I think, the concerns of those of us who know this North County. And then, after we get there, where are we going to pump it out? Where is it going? And that's what we're doing. I'm sure the water could be banged out there. If you just look at the Shine Creek for the last 40 years and see how it's percolated through the Brown Ranch and the Jack Ranch there, it eventually, when it gets to the town of Shannon, it goes down. And those wells right along the freeway there, the newest well that I know was drilled 2 years ago, pumps 2,500 gallons a minute. soil profiles out there and just see exactly what Frank was talking about, talking about on the field.
As far as just putting the water in the ground and seeing what benefits you got from the $12.50 a minute per foot, there's not much analysis. But if it's going to take 10 miles of pipe at $2 million a mile, running mile, then you're talking about what kind of use would generate enough funds to amortize the loan of $20 million. That's a whole different question.
And would it physically be contained under the properties where it was assumed to be contained?
Well, that's why we need
engineering. Even if it migrated at a predictable rate, so that it could be pumped at various places between where you injected it at where the Salinas River finally picked it up, that would still be a measurable benefit to North County.
Right, which goes to Tom's issue of we need data we can all believe so that we don't get legal battles over.
And really, there's enough wells there. If you go to those farms, you know, from the pumping plant right down, I mean, start on the first quarter, they have some excellent wells. But, you know, you take that data off those wells and go right down to the pump station or to the city of Shannon, you're gonna find out what that soil's like, early building. I think the data's out there, but it needs to be collected.
There's, you know, kind of along the lines, there's people that we're not reaching, and you know of, you know, that would be really helpful, just to, you know, drop me an email or note or something.
Yeah, not everyone wants to share their own data.
Some of them don't want to know.
Yeah.
They just want you to dump the water there, and their old families, and they, you know, but that's an advantage. You know, the advantage is you've got a small number of people to work with, and I think you can bring some to do it.
Eric, right up here, Eric asked a good question. He said, well, what's to keep people don't want to pay for this water, and they just say, go ahead, dump it, and then they pump it out and use it for free, and you don't fully, you know, fund the project. We talked to people at our medicine, which admittedly is a different situation. And they had farmers over there that didn't want to join. They just said, hey, we're overlying water, if you put it in there, we'll be overlying more. They just ignored them.
I think
and they ignored them because more and more the farmers started saying, wait a minute, if we get in the low here, we have zero entitlements here. Our entire operation will belly up. And so because they were forward-thinking people, because they had long-term commitments to agriculture, they joined. Just in order to have a stable planning in the future. And eventually there were very, very, very few that didn't just sign up and pay their bills.
Yeah, and we're really not in any competition out there because we're not growing cotton and field plows, carrots and that kind of thing like we do around the our deal is a lot different with the exception of vineyards way to the west there. It's pretty wide open. It's an excellent idea. Frank Pennicutt came up with that idea, and it needs to be followed up because, and knowing those families, and most of that land is in trust and for the nursery, you know, it probably isn't going to make a damn bit of difference in what water's down there or not. They're, you know, as long as they're kept informed and we work with them, I think it's the most logical place to store water. If we were next to an intensified deal, like we are already to do, but we're not. We're talking about storing water out there at a location that's not being overrun.
We have to remember, too, that the people who pay to bring that water in and put the water in the ground are the ones that need to benefit from it, and that's likely to be CCWA. Not the growers, or not the landowners, or not the vineyard operators, and so on. So, I think it's important, like Courtney says, that it has to be win-win, but oftentimes what that means is don't lose.
CCWA being made up of a board of urban purveyors, they are not used to interfacing with agricultural people. In fact, they go out of their way to look for, they recently made a deal with a Delaware corporation in Santa Barbara County to essentially have a movable entitlement compliments of one of their purveyors that had some excess, just so they could make the Costa bill proof of having water available. They called a special meeting to accommodate these people. We need to be sure that we have enough of a voice inside the CCWA that we don't get surprises like that in our county. But what they would probably be looking for, and I think we need to, instead of speculate on what they're looking for, actually have them here discussing it with us. is if they're going to essentially work on a project where the rest of the acre footage is somehow accounted for in our county, they think in terms of, well, who are the subscribers? Who are the ratepayers? Who are the, and the assumption is, urban ratepayers that are going to be recovering this water from the bank and paying on a regular basis. They're used to making contracts with that kind of people. So we can talk about the physical possibility of storing under agricultural land, but the CCWA itself is on a completely different wavelength.
But if we start having more wells going belly up in areas that have permanent crops, orchards and vineyards, the capital at risk will pay for what? I mean, they'll pay more than...
There is a very significant difference. A pest can come in and decimate a crop and create changes in cropping patterns. Even without pests, there are changes in cropping patterns. If you look decade to decade to decade, I mean, there were the alfalfa years, the carrot years. We tend to forget that. Agriculture doesn't want to be frozen in a particular time warp. On the other hand, if you get houses, you're not going to have a certain insect come in that sucks the life out of houses and they'll suddenly be succeeded by something else. And CCWA is used to dealing with people who put houses, and the rates continue being paid from those houses. It's an entirely different sort of economics than agriculture. Agriculturalists have up years and down years, even if they keep growing the same crop, even if they have an orchard in. They make money in maybe they make good money 2 years out of five. They hang on 3 years out of five. Whole different situation.
Yeah, Eric, the Mid-State Bank had an all-day forum on economic projections they did up once a year. And they brought in Firestone from the vineyard. They said, tell us about the economics of a land. And they start off with an unbelievable, I mean, you're bleeding red every corner, and you don't even see black for 20 years. And then only by the 30th year you're starting to be profitable. So you're looking at a youngish to middle-aged person who has some other source of income, keep pouring it into the ground and getting nothing to show for it. Until finally, by the time they're retired, they start to have a great income. That kind of an investment is not row crops, it's not carrots or alfalfa. They have to have a long-term, steady supply of water, or they lose everything.
And our cities need a long-term supply of water because we have dry cycles. And I have seen, for example, the city of Paso Robles ran out of water for 2 or 3 years in a row. And they highly monitored their wells. You know, this was the big switch in direction with Paso Robles to go online with the Nascimento. When I came out of the valley in 1988 here, they didn't want to have anything to do with the Nascimento pipeline. San Luis Obispo begged them. We got into 1998 and they had a whole different story. Their pumps were running, I know, we run a lot of water trucks. And they put what we call restrictors on our water trucks. We normally fill a 4,000 gallon truck in 7 minutes. They put restrictors on them to fill them in 47 minutes. 47 minutes. So you figure how many thousand percent that is in reduction in water use. And we've got all these houses sitting here, we have all these pre-planted tracks, we have a $40,000 per lot cost to tie into the city. You know, we need this water out there because we do not generate enough water for what
we're arguing conclusions and we're supposed to be trying to collect questions today.
Well, I was kind of phrasing it mine in the form of questions, but anyway, go ahead.
This is just for clarification. Are we banking this water for CCWA?
No, it would be for us.
Okay.
It'd be county interest.
But we have to have contracts with CCWA, and they've got sharp lawyers, and that's.
So when.
Well, I think it could be for CCWA.
Yeah.
We have a contract with CCWA.
Well, I guess my question is, so is it your year who has first ownership of that water?
Well,
is it another person?
That depends on who pays for the pipeline to get there.
Yeah, who's gonna pay for it?
So the people who
yeah.
we're gonna benefit.
They're not gonna sue.
You have to figure out
how they're sucking
the beneficiaries.
Feed out that year because it's dry and they have nothing.
I don't see Shannon farming.
And they're in a situation. The fact that there isn't any dropping now doesn't mean there won't be later.
I think they have purging
order. Sir, I don't know if they wanted to block over the legal part. I think the issue of banning water and reselling is fairly.
Well, yeah, and I think we're talking about two steps. And Tom is saying, let's understand the physical parameters. Is it feasible? In other words, I think your point of view is it's a waste of time to talk about this until we know that answer, and then we can deal with the legals.
Exactly. Is it possible? The only way we know that is through an engineering study.
Why don't we collect questions one at a time and write them down? Then we'll actually have something to take home.
And I have another. Are you planning to at least run the numbers to find out how much excess capacity could be put through the current pipeline and stored downstream for the use of Macomb, say?
No.
You're not going to run those numbers?
No. This is strictly North Carolina.
As far as the capacity of the pipeline, the CCWA did do a study of the capacity of the pipeline.
Yeah, I know the capacity, but it's not always run at full capacity. That's what I was going to call the excess.
With the drought buffer agreements, that's what they use to get their 100% allocation, so it typically is run at capacity. Only if we were down to like a 15-10% delivery from the state, that's when you might start seeing less than full deliveries. Because people have taken some of that excess allocation and put it on their belt for when we only get 60% deliveries.
No, I just mean the volume that goes through every day.
There's no seasonal peaking capacity. They do allow for downtime for pipe inspections and repairs. I guess what is it, about 1/12 of the time or something?
Well, when we were at the meeting. You're talking about the treatment plant capacity?
Yeah.
Oh, the treatment plant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
That doesn't run at the 48, whatever that number is.
So we're an option of groundwater making where we want to go through the plant first. Are looking at that. Is that
right? Yeah, because the pipe that already goes to Tacoma. But this is only looking at utilizing this water for the North County, not for the Tacoma or.
My being here is just because I'm on the rack.
I was thinking of the county as a whole.
Yeah.
And it's
the second page of your handout there kind of goes over the potential the potential for doing a groundwater banking program, the option, these four, things off here, banking for future use or doing an exchange for reliability in the pipeline capacity. These are all the things that might come out of doing a groundwater banking program that we look at as a way of, as a benefit for implementing the project.
But Susan was talking about a kind of a relationship with the plant that I think maybe needs to be phrased in as a question.
Okay.
So the question then, there are several ways of physically getting the water to the groundwater. You can't just have the water raw as it is go into the groundwater basin because it has weird organisms in it from the sun beating down on it in the canal and things that have gone into the canal and stuff. You can't put chlorinated water into the groundwater basin. So I guess what we're comparing then is...
Well, you say you can't. I don't agree with that.
Well, no, but, I mean...
You can't put raw water in the ground, in your opinion.
Well, no, what I'm saying is, have you read the study by Brown and Caldwell of the water quality in the actual California aqueduct? Believe me, you wouldn't want to put that in the Paso Robles groundwater.
But they're doing it at our...
Yeah,
they're doing it at our... So, you know, the fact that they're already doing it, we've got models to look at, tells us we need to find out, first of all, if it's feasible, can we hold that water? And then, who's going to pay for it, like Paul says? Who's going to hook up to, all these other things that come in. But first of all, we've got to find out whether geologically we can hold that water.
Well, to rephrase the question then, alternatives, just plunk it in the way it is that feasible? And I, from what I've read, I would kind of lean against it. We have a reputation for a certain quality of water in our basin, but that's one alternative. Another alternative, run it through the plant and then dechlorinate it. Another alternative is run it through ozonation or something else that doesn't leave a chemical residue. Essentially get a cost and feasibility comparison of those alternatives. That's the question. I know that the system as a whole chlorinates at Colonial Pass and dechlorinates in San Ynez and then rechlorinates in the Tecolote Tunnel. So the folks in Santa Barbara and vicinity actually paid for three operations because it has to be dechlorinated to dump into the Lake Pachuma, and then of course it's rechlorinated for their own systems when it comes out of the Tecolote Tunnel.
Well, that's all mechanical. First of all, we need to find out currently, is this feasible? What is the cost of pumping that water in the Gale Chalam Creek? That's what we need to know. Real Chalam Creek hold it? Are we going to lose it into the Stray River? Where does it go? And who's going to buy this water?
So we need surface hydrology as well as underground hydrology if we're going to use a creek as a conveyance. Now, Mike is kind of assuming we're going to be building a pipeline as a conveyance, and so I guess that's another question. Is there a reason we need a pipeline as a conveyance? What are the constraints or opportunities of using the natural water courses as conveyances? So another question.
Well, it's going to take some pipe to get the Colonial Pass over the top. We wouldn't pump water into going uphill. But the point is, once we get over the crest, once we get over the crest, then how much further it needed to go in order to get to a useful area geologically?
Well,
that, I don't think we have an answer to that. And it might go into a creek bed, it might go into spreading ponds, it might go into, who knows, I don't know. These are questions that need to be raised, and then, then the engineering folks can look at those questions and say, what are the costs of this mode? What are the costs of that mode?
Sure.
Could the beneficiaries be induced somehow to pay for it?
Yeah, I think the question of capacity and the existing infrastructure, whether it's the tree on the head or the pipeline, would need to be addressed and analyzed and all the different options for doing that program.
I agree with you. The key question first is, this a real issue? Will we bank this water, or is it?
Yeah.
Is it just going to flow back on through, and even going into the details?
And by the way, part of the answer to that is going to be the rate of transmissivity. Because it moves slowly enough, it's good to stay still.
That's true. That kind of bothers me if we're talking, I don't know that we're talking about the end use being just the North County. Storage in the North County.
Right.
But I'm not convinced that we wouldn't wind up with the end use being somewhere else.
Well, that's the impression I've got from the CCWA's assumptions. And of course, if it's to serve us, we can say it's for the North County, but it seems like the assumptions they're worth walking in with is find the best.
Why can't the pipeline be run to Santa Margarita, to the pumping station that goes to San Jose?
That actually was the original proposed project. There was going to be a lateral from Santa Margarita to Atascadero.
If our communities in North County tie into water line, why can't it go over that and go over the mountain? I mean, you know, if we have this kind of water out there, look at the size of the Nacimiento pipeline, how big it is.
But the pipeline capacity was not sized for the, that other acre feet. That's why we're talking about Colonial Pass essentially being a diversion point. There's no capacity to put 17,000 acre feet to a turnout at Santa Margarita.
I know, but there's a lot of years there's not enough water in that dam. And then.
But again, what we're doing now is starting to answer the questions instead of recording.
Right.
And
why can't
it's not productive because we can get a lot more time, a lot more intelligence to answer the questions. So let's just try to capture the questions.
So, Jefferson, I have a question. Are these kinds of projects then privately funded and funded wholly by the subscribers, not the county general taxpayer? Or how, you know?
In the case of the Nacimiento pipeline, the project was funded by the, at this point, the four participants.
Yeah.
If the county is flood control district is facilitating the process, but they didn't have $150 million to bring the pipeline down and hope somebody will buy it from them. So that whole process would revolve around users coming up and saying, I'm in for 2,000 or...
And they're covering the county staff costs on that, or...
Yes.
And that's usually how you do it.
Well, that, you know, not being a...
That's what you have to do.
No. And you look at the large projects in the valley where the end user is Metropolitan Water District for the most part, and they also are the funding agency for those projects. It's not the local agencies. It's not the users, it's not the growers, it's not the it's not Arvin, and it's not semi-tropical. It's Metropolitan.
Boys with the big
they're the only ones that can afford it.
Well, they got the billions to do it.
But that, I mean,
that's what it takes.
That's why, well, I was just going to answer a question.
That's not fair.
The situation is, we all know what you're doing.
Thank you.
Okay.
Any other
questions?
Hopefully the users would pay. It's probably not unlikely that the county would come up with some seed money from general funding if the seed money was small and the payoff was big. But yeah, I'm answering questions. Look, I'll share with you briefly then as we sort of wrap things up. Here's some of the things that were raised in the past, and the category may stimulate you to think of some other questions. Okay. First category, public policy questions. Will analysis include the sell-off for long-term recoverance, or will any of the other options like that be included? And I think you've already answered this. How would different interests have buy-in? In other words, you've got farmers, you've got developers, you've got tourism, you've got all kinds of things. How do they get interested? What kinds of options would the Board of the Supervisors be willing to explore? For example, would they be willing to explore banking outside of the county or other such modalities? Will this water provide for a new town? And I don't know if you know about the new town concept, but where you plant an entire planned community from jobs and downtown district and high density housing and R1 housing, you put it all in place because the state says we have to take X number of homes. There are several places where we do that.
So I slipped out earlier, but
see, engineering questions. What would the quality of the water be of this supplemental water? It's got chloramine. What other issues do you have to talk about? What would 10 miles of pipe and pumps cost? What is the transmissivity rate? Geological and hydrological questions. Landowners have a different view of the basin than the Paso Robles groundwater studies. We heard that from a number of sources. So what are these other viewpoints? What basis do they have for having a different view of what's there? We need the information. Where could water be perked effectively? If anywhere. We don't really have sites where we identify. Closer to Colonial Pass is cheaper than farther, but if it doesn't perk, there's no point in sending it there. Environmental questions. Should we include out-of-the-county storage possibilities such as Burnham Mesa and the San Luis Reservoir above Los Banos? Dells Dam, east of Colonial Pass, there are a number of places outside the county that were mentioned. What would the impacts of supplemental water have on the native groundwater? Whole environmental question. Legal questions. Would a water banking effort affect the likelihood of the basin becoming adjudicated? Don't know. Funding questions. What are the various study options that Public Works would consider? And obviously, you have to set that in house. If it were implemented, if any of these were, you know, who would the beneficiaries be and how might they be induced to pay a fair share of the cost? These are some of the questions that were raised. If you think of others, we'll add them to the list.
So I think the point of, you know, and we'll maybe try to stick with the 10 weather, 5:30 we'll go here for an hour and a half. What do you think about July 6th is probably the next question as far as having a meeting. We could tentatively schedule it and see how your progress goes as far as scope.
I think I'll have time. Yeah, definitely July 6th. I don't know how soon I can get it out to you.
Yeah.
You know, whether it'll be or a week before that.
Well, and I think if this went out to the forum, basically on a more formal, you know, that whole list which you've done on also.
Exactly.
You know, you may have to retrail over this ground that we've already done today, but that's all right.
We need to get Ken, get organized, and Ken get the letters out to all the members and people at this event, and they'll be here. Everyone is here.
And I'll get your assistant.
What about secretarial duties, I guess, of you know, getting the group together. Like, I'm thinking about distributing like minutes from this meeting to the contact list. Do you want to use that big email list I have for this group, or do you want just a more intimate group, or how do you feel about
well,
the contact?
Well, what do we have? Like I said, I don't know what group you have.
Mine was North County Water Forum, which is Ken Weather's list.
Right.
I have emails out there, and then people that don't have emails, I send stuff back. And then I've got all the state water subcontractors, you know, so all of the people who subscribe to that 4830, because, you know, looking at it, is that a potential option for them increasing their reliability as well?
And who are those names?
Sometimes I get Lopez and state water and stuff, but Morro Bay, KC,
okay.
Austin.
Cool.
And then the members from RAF that were identified in the November meeting minutes, and Bill Brennan, several board supervisors representatives.
And then probably Shannon, an advisory council, and technical advisor.
And then anybody who I collect at meetings, that write their name down.
I don't know personally, I think I would do I think I'd almost work with just this group, keep it going, get stuff done. The more people we have, the more involved we're going to have, the more questions, the least likely she is to meet her dates.
Yeah.
You know, but that doesn't mean you don't share it with anybody,
mm-hmm.
but
it's, for asking for input and all of that, to me, you've got a group, we're working on it, let the,
you got about a year and a half.
Over. You're under tight constraints, and you don't have a lot of time.
I did have like a section in the agreement that says if you're gonna overshoot your schedule, you can contact them within 30 days.
You have to negotiate.
But, you know, for as an example, I sent it out to that big email group today, and here we are.
Yeah.
You know, so it was fine, although I did say it was a repeat invitation, so I don't know.
GNOS projects are, when the heavy lifting's up early, you have a very small group of people that want to pitch in long term. Once it starts taking shape, then everybody wants to jump on board, so.
That's when they start throwing bombs.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you all.
Very good.
Thank you, Brad.
Let me say, you said something about this.
Our meeting was, you okay to do, we made a lot of those invitations, like, if it's not policy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can't, we'll find out who wants the bottles. You guys need the bottles.
What kinds of bottles?
Thanks. Thank you, thanks for coming.
Would the water be used for a new town?
Oh, there you go, okay. In my.
So, you think we should write a attached by, is that what we're doing?
Look at options for providing water for a cow that drives the units, we need to. Talk to that man, let's have a.
In that case, we did have someone from the valley.
Sure.
To come talk about.
Yeah.
He didn't talk as much as that, I hoped, but.
Don't tell him.